Congress on its way to President Biden's desk for his signature. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 18 points, the Nasdaq ahead 68. More details at srnnews.com.
As God calls us to serve Him, He calls us to study. Conservative Theological University provides studies on campus and online personalized distant education studies that lead to your certified degree. Earn your associate's, bachelor's, master's, or doctorate. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. Please leave your contact information for the staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with a very serious issue today. The issue is eschatological prophetic biblical truth and how we ascertain what is biblical truth and how do you apply that and what are some of the signs that we're in the last days. You go back to the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter. The disciples asked the question, what are the signs, when will it be, and what will be the end of the world? And Jesus answers those 3 questions from the disciples, beginning with verse 5 in Matthew 24 and going through Matthew 25. Those 2 are 2 chapters that go together in harmony, and he answers those questions, the questions that the disciples had asked. There will be false teachers covering the whole world, teaching and focusing on self and not the Savior, in the 5th verse. There will be wars and rumors of wars. We see that taking place today. Nation, that word nation against nation, the word nation, there's the word ethnos. That is ethnic wars. We see today the Arab-Israeli war. That is an ethnic war. We see today kingdom against kingdom, that the Scripture says in the 7th and 8th verses of Matthew chapter 24. Kingdom, Basileon, the rule and reign. We see today Russia, Iran, North Korea all rising up today. And by the way, Iran, according to the latest news, Iran claims that they now have nuclear weapons, 7 nuclear warheads that they already have, and they're now bragging about it. Famine and distress and earthquakes, etc., in diverse places, the Scripture says. Today, we have new diseases that is talked about there in the Scripture, pestilences in the Matthew 24 text. The word pestilences means diseases. We are now having diseases coming into America as a result of the illegal invaders coming in from around the world that have not been properly medically cared for, and they're bringing it right now in the state of Florida, right in the state of Georgia. I believe some 6 or 8 states having measles now that is pervading and coming into our land. We have over in the West Coast some of the Black Plague, as they call it, that's coming back into America, etc., etc. So we need to understand the Scripture, eschatological text, is chronological, and we cannot take something that is pointing to the days of the tribulation or after the tribulation and place that in a position today. This is the reason I'm adamantly opposed to people like Mark Belts, B-I-L-T-Z, Mark Belts, the El Shaddai Ministries. He is a one that wants to come on the scene with anything that's unusual that happens and claims that he can find a place in the Bible, and he puts it in the current day and not in the days of the tribulation. If he had said this is happening and it's going to be taking place in the tribulation, he'd be partially right. Otherwise, he's 100% wrong. And I just want us to understand that many times it plagues the anemic, immature Christian into believing that, man, he's really got something nobody else has gotten. And by the book, it's a waste of God's money. I believe we have Raymond on the line. Raymond, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Thanks, Dr. Youngblood, for taking my call. This is Raymond Johnson, Biblical Concepts Ministries. I got to be brief, kind of on the run, but I'm trying to listen to you, and I just couldn't help but to call in and make, you know, a thought came to mind that I thought I would share. And I would just simply share this. Look, I'm not necessarily a studied Bible scholar like you are, obviously, but, you know, and I can't say one way or the other if some kind of you know, I remember years back seeing the, I think it was 2013, 14 or something, the Hal Lindsey movies and things like that or whatever about some solar eclipse. You know, look, man, I can't say either way on that stuff. I personally don't know. But I can say this. This is what I do know, that even a simple, you know, Christian can understand plain scripture. And, mm-hmm. and there's just certain things that we can understand.
Right.
And I can tell you this, it's very easily understood. If you want to talk about signs of judgment, you know, the Bible talked about turning people over to a reprobate mind. And so when you have a society that is going around, you know, a mass population of any one particular country or society that goes around and starts sodomizing themselves or killing babies in the womb, then that's a sign of judgment. And,
absolutely.
You know, I do have a particular evangelist friend that made a good point years back that that homosexuality, when it becomes prevalent in a nation or, you know, a society, a people group, whatever you want to call it, is it's not that necessarily that God's going to judge that, but the mass homosexuals, the sodomy, is a form of judgment. And I think we're there, and I think that's something I can identify as a form of judgment. I don't necessarily have to over worry about whether a solar eclipse is a sign or not, because I've got some pretty solid things that says we're under judgment in America and going to be severely more judged. But that was the only point I wanted to make.
Well, Raymond, you're on target with that, and I believe that it's time we look at, and again, I'll emphasize the point that I'm making today, is that as we study the scripture, God is not chaotic, God's not confused, God is
right.
not rambling. He gives us his word, and it's in chronological order when we look at it. It is the unfurling.
Amen.
It is the unfurling of God and allowing man to see God and God to reveal himself to man. And that's unfurled in the scripture. You look at Revelation chapter 1 through Revelation chapter 22. It is chronologically carrying across the 7 years of tribulation from chapter 6 through chapter 18, the return of Christ chapter 19, millennial reign in chapter 20, the rule and reign in heaven for 21, and throughout all of eternity in chapter 22. It is all about revealing the Lord Jesus Christ and what takes place in the last of the last days. So, Raymond, you're exactly right, brother. Thank you so much.
Amen.
For your input and insight.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank
God
you,
bless
Dr. Youngblood.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Love to have your input. What are your thoughts? What have you read? What have you seen? Or even better yet, you don't have to call the name. What's your pastor said about this from the pulpit? Has he discussed it? I think it's time that we, as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, get back to the study of God's Word. Study the Word, know the Word, hide the Word of God in our hearts so that we cannot be deceived by false teachers. And keep in mind again, the primary beginning of the signs in the prophetic text is first and foremost seeing false teachers pervading society. And that's where we are today. Dr. Davis, what say you?
You know, Dr. Youngblood, I think it's a great thing. I mean, and I appreciate all the callers, you know, for the comments and the different things that they had to say so far and what you just got finished saying, but you know, I think it's a great thing for us. It's a privilege, as a matter of fact, to have the Word of God here with God the Father himself giving us advance notice of what to expect as we live in this life. He doesn't have to do that because he's God all by himself.
That's right.
He doesn't have to tell us anything. He doesn't even owe us that. He could command us to do things and have us walking around like robots, but he gives us a free will choice. Now, when we look at everything that we talked about so far, and if we want to know exactly where we are, all we have to do is turn the pages of the Bible, and we'll find the answer to what we need to know about where we are right now. But again, trying to put signs in place and call it God's judgment, I think that's the wrong approach for that.
That's right.
We need to do it just like the Word of God said.
Follow the Scripture.
Follow it. Follow it. There is a paper trail.
Amen. That's
that
a good statement. I like that statement. There's a paper trail.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Let me read you a little from the headline that says 2024 total eclipse. Where and when? On Monday, April the 8th, 2024, a total eclipse will occur across North America, passing over Mexico, the United States, and Canada. The total solar eclipse will begin over the South Pacific Ocean, weather permitting. The first location in continental North America that will experience totally is Mexico's Pacific coast at around 11:07 a.m. Then this article further states, the path of the eclipse continues from Mexico, entering, now I'm reading this for a purpose, ladies and gentlemen, and let me just set the stage. If the eclipse is an indication of God's judgment on a nation, is the judgment of God just going to be on a little stripe across America? Or is his judgment on the total nation when God judges a nation? This article says, the path of the eclipse continues from Mexico, entering the United States in Texas, traveling through Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, Illinois, Kentucky, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine. Small parts of Tennessee and Michigan will also experience the total solar eclipse. The eclipse will enter Canada and southern Ontario and continue through Quebec, New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island, and Cape Breton. The eclipse will exit continental America and go out into the Atlantic Ocean, etc., etc. Ladies and gentlemen, the point that I am urging us to recognize, we don't have to have some Johnny-come-lately or some Dr. Divine that comes up with something that's supposed to be unique. Dr. Davis spoke about Harold Campion a little earlier. He's out into eternity now, and I like to put it on the basis I don't really know where, but he was the most confused, mixed up, messed up person you'd ever want to hear talking about the Scripture. He wrote a book in 1996, said that in September 1996, the world was coming to an end. September 1996, he said that early 96, God had ceased dealing with the church. If you, his words, not mine, if you're in a church where it's organized religion, where there's a pastor and where there are deacons, where there are Sunday school teachers and leaders, get out, because God's already stopped dealing with the church. God's no longer dealing with the church, he said. That was in 1996. He said that the world was coming to an end. God was bringing his judgment, world coming to an end, September 6th of 1996. He was 100% wrong, but yet he sold millions of dollars worth of books on that basis that weak, anemic, unlearned Christians bought, spending God's money for a false teacher's false prophecy. We need to be very, very careful on that. We've got the Bible, and as Dr. Davis said earlier, we can go back. God's given us, as I call it, black print on white paper that tells us, with, as Dr. Davis called it, a paper trail as to what God is doing. God's given that to us. Study the Word. See what the Word says.
Amen.
And then this article says, an unusual total eclipse that will traverse America in April, some biblical scholars pointing to a deeper significance. You see, ladies and gentlemen, most so-called biblical scholars that want to in some way be hyper in relationship to it and get the attention to themselves rather than attention on the Word of God and on the Savior. They want the attention for themselves, and they come up with some unique statement. And so this is supposed to be a biblical scholar. His name is Pastor Mark Belts, El Shaddai Ministries, sharing his insights in the upcoming solar eclipse that will take place and gives the date, etc., April the 8th. This article reads this way. It will be the first solar eclipse visible in the continental United States since August 21st, 2017, and the only total solar eclipse in the 21st century where it will be totally visible in Mexico, in the United States, and Canada. A solar eclipse occurs when the moon passes between Earth and the sun, thereby obscuring the image of the sun for a viewer on Earth, etc., etc., etc. Now, my point is, ladies and gentlemen, that this so-called prophet talked about the book of Joel, and he used the text from that, Joel 2:31, predicted the sun will be turned into darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the great day and dreadful day of the Lord. The coming of the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, anytime you see that, the day of the Lord, or in that day, those two phrases point to the time from the rapture of the church to the return of Christ. That's the day of the Lord. And what you see during that period of time is the 7 years of tribulation spelled out in Revelation chapter 6 through chapter 18. Pastor, before we get to a little further dialogue, I want to read a verse or two that will set the stage. For example, in Joel chapter 2, verse 10, the scripture said, 10 and 11, the earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong and executeth his word. For the day of the Lord, listen to that term, for the day of the Lord is great, it is very terrible, and who can abide in it? The day of the Lord, Joel 2:1-2 says, that it is a day of darkness, a day of gloominess, a day of clouds, and of thick darkness, as the morning spreads upon the mountain, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like before, shall not be after it, even to the years of many generations. And then in Joel chapter 3, verses 12 through 15, it is very, very clear. Verse 15 says, the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining, etc., etc. But ladies and gentlemen, that is in the day of the Lord. That's after the rapture of the church. That's in part of the judgment of God that's spelled out in Revelation chapter 6, Revelation chapter 16, where there's very clear evidence that it is in that time that the Joel text is speaking of in the prophetic text. So I want us to understand that just because somebody wants to, how would you say, get attention and talk about it being God's judgment on America, I'm concerned about that. Ladies and gentlemen, when we look at what the scripture really says, we need to understand that it is to be taken in the eschatological prophetic text chronologically. For example, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, the scripture says that the last days would be days of lawlessness. It says iniquity shall abound. The word iniquity means twisted, perverted sin. It means lawlessness, and that's the era in which we're living in. Today we have some prophet watchers that may be sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. Dr. Davis, what would you add to those statements for our listeners?
Well, we need to understand, again, Dr. Youngblood, prophecy, you know, the end goal.
Mm-hmm.
The end goal of prophecy for the believer. The knowledge of prophecy of Scripture is supposed to provide joy in the midst of affliction. I don't know about anyone else, but when I see these things coming to pass, I lift my eyes to the hills.
That's right.
Because our redemption draweth nigh. Now, that's what the Scripture tells
us. Luke 21:28 tells us to do that. Yes.
Amen. Because I don't know about anyone else, but I'm pretty fed up with this old world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I want to die today.
That's right.
But still yet, mm-hmm, I know if I leave this world, I'm going to be with the Lord.
Amen.
But now, we're supposed to, live in a state of joy. We're not supposed to panic. We're not supposed to worry. We're not, all of these things.
Amen.
And this is what happens to people that don't know the Scripture.
That's the key.
Now, when we go to Romans 15 and 4, the Bible tells us over there that all things were written aforetime for our learning.
Yes.
That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where is your hope? When you read the Bible, when you read prophecy, and it tells us what's going to happen to a world that has rejected Jesus Christ, and you have accepted Christ, then what you're reading in those particular verses, if it's doom and gloom, that doesn't pertain to you. Now, as long as you're living here, Scripture is going to be fulfilled, and it's going to fulfill upon someone.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to know that God is going to be here to take us through.
That's right.
When the Israelites got to the Red Sea, he didn't take them around. He didn't take them under. He
took them through the problem.
He took them through.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what's going to happen for us as we read Scripture, prophecy, and we see these things coming to happen. Let me tell you what 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18 say. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary,
mm-hmm.
but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, we haven't seen heaven, but we believe it's there.
Amen.
In the heart of every believer, there's no sin. Because you have accepted Christ Jesus, and because there's no sin, and God said no sin is going to enter his kingdom.
Right.
Well, if you have gotten to that point to where God has sanctified you and prepared you for the kingdom, you got something far more better waiting for you.
Yeah, our righteousness won't get us there. It's the robe of righteousness we're robed in, and Christ's righteousness is his shed blood on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
Dr. Davis, one of the things that I want to, a little footnote for what we're saying today. You go to the Old Testament, especially in the book of Deuteronomy, and Deuteronomy text, about verses 1 through 11, the scripture is very, very clear what happened in the Old Testament. I'm not saying we need to take these false prophets out and hang them at the city gate. but I am saying that God takes it very, very seriously in relationship to false prophets. Deuteronomy 13th chapter, the first 11 verses, let me just give you some little excerpts from that. And I'm reading from the Holman Standard Bible as the way it was put in that. False prophets. The scripture says, do not listen to the prophets, that prophet's words, for he's a dreamer. And this is in the modern translation. God is testing you as to whether or not you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. Verse 4 says, you must follow the Lord your God and fear him. And then further in the 8th verse, find it fascinating. You must not yield to him or listen to him, talking about the false prophet. Show him no pity and do not spare him or shield him. Instead, you must kill him. I'm laughing, but it's not funny. It is very serious to follow a false prophet.
Amen.
But getting back to eschatological prophetic text, we see the horror of it. In fact, if anybody listening, pick up your Bible if you're not driving. Go to the Revelation text, chapter 16, and just start reading. Revelation 16, it is talking about in the last of the last days of the tribulation of what God is going to do in relationship to judging this old world. John said, and I heard a great voice out of the temple, that is the nuos, the holy of holies, the abode of God, for the seven angels, says, go your way and pour out the vials of wrath of God upon the earth. The first went, and there was fell a noisome and grievous sores upon all of mankind and on the beast, that's the Antichrist. And it talks about what is happening there. And it goes on to talk about the second angel poured out his vial, and it became as blood of the dead man, and every living soul in the sea was killed. And the third angel poured out his vial, and the rivers and the fountains of water, and they became blood. And the angel of the water said, thou art righteous, O Lord God, and art vast, and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. And it goes on to talk about it, of what is taking place. And vial after vial after vial of wrath is poured out on a world that mankind is suffering. And then the scripture says in that 16th chapter that all of the kingdom, that's the basileon, the rule and the reign of the Antichrist, that is the whole world in that day, will turn to darkness.
My.
God's word, the prophetic text, eschatological text, should be viewed chronologically And we cannot take some of these things that's happening in the atmosphere and geologically or astrologically, and we cannot apply them and just out of fiat say, God's judging, and the judgment of America begins on April the 8th of 2024. That's not what it's saying at all. But the key to it is, ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, when we see the darkness, the devastation, and the deadliness of the days of the tribulation, it should cause every Christian, every child of God, to want to reach your family member, moms, dads, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, co-workers, to share the gospel with them so they will not be left behind and have to go through those dark days of the tribulation. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you. Dr. Davis, what say you in relationship to where we are and what we're talking about today?
Well, the sad part about what you just got finished saying about how God's going to pour out his wrath, the scripture says that even after he does that, men will still not repent.
That's right. Absolutely.
You know, and we can still see that right now today, as hard as we are preaching from our pulpits.
Yes.
As many times as we have come on the air on Let's Face the Issues to warn the people about the wrath of God and about the signs of the times, we still don't find people repenting.
That's right.
And coming to God. Now, again, it's my heart's desire to take as many to heaven with me.
Amen.
As I can.
That's right.
But again, it's your free will choice. You have to realize that God doesn't send anyone to hell. You're going to send yourself there.
Making
by rejecting
a choice. It's a choice.
The finished work of Jesus Christ out on Calvary's
That's
cross.
Right. That's right.
So let's just be honest about the whole situation. When we look at prophecy, prophecy is supposed to cleanse and encourage holy living. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. We're
That's
running
right.
out of time.
Absolutely.
So I'm just going to recite some scripture. It's profitable. 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17.
That's right.
It gives facts about life after death, 2 Corinthians 5 and 8. And it gives truth about the end of history, Revelation 22. It gives proof about the reliability of Scripture, 2 Peter 1, 16 through 21. And it draws our hearts out in worship to the God who is complete, it's in complete control, and will accomplish his will in history, Romans chapter 8. Verses 18 through 23. So after hearing all these things, where do you stand?
Need to say yes to Jesus.
Are you going to make a
That's
conscious
right.
decision
That's
today?
Right. Pastor, I'll put a little footnote to that. In the latter portions of the days of the tribulation, hailstones of about 100 pounds each will fall on all of mankind. Not just a little strip across America. Fall on mankind. It's God's judgment on a world that said no to Jesus Christ. You would think that when that is taking place, where the sea is congealed, where the sun is darkened, the moon is turning to blood, and the hailstones are falling, that you would think mankind would say yes to Jesus. No. The scripture says he will shake his fist at God and curse God, blaspheming
Amen.
God. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's time we recognize eschatological prophetic text and recognize that God shows us where he's going, what he's going to do for us to get ready and get our family and friends ready. Thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Amen.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9.